give all my praises, O our God, who created the ancient hill. I give all my praises to you. Brethren, let's begin to give all our praises to the Almighty God. Let's begin to lift him up. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the beginning and the end. He's the soon coming King. There's no Savior like him. Let's worship him. Let's bless his name. Let's ask him to give us entrance. That his word will find entrance into our life this evening. At the end of this the Bible studies, we will look back and say of a truth we have been with the Lord. Regeye bragadabo santa labori basekere bozenda hinga labori katere bosete. Let's pray and take authority over this place. Take authority in the name of Jesus and banish every spirit of buying and selling, every spirit of distraction. Let's ask that the Holy Spirit will come and give us the grace to sit at his feet and to actually learn of him and to have revelation of his word and to begin to know him through his word, begin to know him by his word in the name of Jesus, that the word of God will find entrance into our lives, that we'll begin to be doers of the word of God, that there shall be evidence in our life that we are the children of the Most High God. As we begin to live to the glory of the name of the Lord God Almighty, we shall not be speaking the word in our mouth and in our hearts is not there and we are doing other things. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself to you this evening. Father, come and take over. I submit myself. I submit my will. Come and take over, O Lord. Take over my life. Take over my heart. Take over my attitude. Take over my behavior. Take over my temperament. In the mighty name of Jesus, take over my spirit. Give me the grace to move forward. Help me. I don't want to be a pendulum Christian. I don't want to continue to be stagnant. I want to move forward day by day as I hear your word. Let it move me. It cleanse me. Put me in the next level in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, Lord. We worship and exalt you. Mighty God will bless you. For in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Somebody praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Amen.
We give you all the glory.
Jesus.
We give you
honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor in the word of God. There is power in the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow. Hallelujah. In the word of God, there is power. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We worship you. We give you glory, honor, and adoration, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you please come and teach us your word and help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for counting us among the living. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Father, Lord, please come and guide us and direct us in the name of Jesus. Please come and have preeminence in all that we do in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. We thank God for this day. We thank God for all that he's doing in our lives. By the grace of God, tonight's topic is titled True Wisdom versus false wisdom. True wisdom versus false wisdom. And we'll be taking our reading from James 4, 13 to 18. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And I read, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is a sin." Praise the name of the Lord. True wisdom. We're talking about true wisdom versus false wisdom. True wisdom is measured by the depth of a person's character. And you know, when I was going over this topic, I was looking at something that Pastor Leke Adeboye said. He posted a photo on Instagram, and it really relates to this topic. They were talking about wisdom and false wisdom, in other words, foolishness. So I was looking at that, and it really made me to think deeply. He posted something, and he was talking about, before you can be wise, you have to understand foolishness. Said, before you can be wise, you have to understand foolishness. Now, when we talk about that, we don't mean that someone must become foolish. But we're talking about, or do foolish things. But you have to at least know what foolishness is when you see it. And it's important for us that when we talk about wisdom, because you see, there's all types of wisdom. As much as there's godly wisdom, there's wisdom of the world. And we have to be very careful, because any wisdom of the world is not wisdom at all. We must seek godly wisdom. And with all wisdom, we also must seek understanding. Just as you can identify a tree by the type of fruit it produces, we as children of God must evaluate ourselves, our lives, by our actions. It's not just having a perfect attendance record of coming to church every Sunday, or every Tuesday, or every Thursday, or going to the convention every year, or going to Holy Ghost night. What are our actions saying about us? Praise the name of the Lord. Because when we talk about wisdom, we need to understand what wisdom is. So when we're talking about children of God, that we need to evaluate ourselves, and we need to evaluate the lives of others to see if what they're saying matches their actions. It's not enough to just preach the word of God. We have to do the word of God. We have to follow the word of God. Let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 16 to 20. Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20. And I read, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So we're talking about, there are different types of wisdom. There's godly wisdom, and there's wisdom of the world. I want us to briefly talk about wisdom of the world. Before I go into some scriptures talking about the dangers of wisdom of the world. I want each and every one of us to explain the difference between godly wisdom and wisdom of the world. Praise the Lord. Would anyone like to give a definition of what is godly wisdom and what is wisdom of the world, and to explain the difference? Okay, I guess we'll...
Praise the Lord. The wisdom of God is that which has been given unto man through the Holy Spirit. And it also means that it is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Man, the worldly wisdom, is actually the wisdom of the devil, cunningly, just bare and mere knowledge. The Lord wants us to go beyond just acquiring knowledge that people think is wisdom, but be able to apply the knowledge for the fear of God. To apply the knowledge for the ways of the Lord. Now, when wisdom, what even when you say wisdom, I believe you can hardly have wisdom of the world, because what the world thinks is wisdom is just mere knowledge. Oh, technology. Oh, somebody, you know, had been able to apply, they maybe use the knowledge that he has gotten in order for him to please himself. All this selfish application of knowledge that is not derived from the Holy Spirit, and that does not take reference to God, that's wisdom of the world. And that is why a lot of time it conflicts with God's own way. That's why the man's way is contrary to God's way. And that is why God's way to man looks foolish and looks stupid, because they cannot comprehend it. Because the one that we apply is from the natural knowledge, understanding that we have. Either you read book or, you know, the discussion with people which is not derived from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it does not bear reference to God. It does not bear honor to God, and it does not, you know, glorify God. Such wisdom is the wisdom of the world. But that wisdom that recognizes God, that acknowledges Him, that fears him and that bring glory to him. That is the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, for those that came in, we're talking about true wisdom versus false wisdom. And our main text was James 4:13-18. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. So we're talking about the difference between true wisdom and wisdom of this world. So based on your contributions, it even came up to mind of Proverbs 3:7, where it says, "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." One of the things that wisdom of the world will try to get you to do is to follow simply knowledge instead of seeking the face of God, thinking that, well, I know all of this, then I don't need anything else. Some people, they like to call themselves, you know, self-made or self-this, that they know enough to, you know, to take on any situation. And when we look at it, even for myself, I'm asking God to help me. You know, when we look at social media, a lot of people are looking at things that they see on social media than, you know, really referring to the Bible, to the Word of God. And we have to understand that all these things have flaws. You know, just a couple of months ago, I believe it was Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, all their sites were down. There was like a major crash where their sites and everything weren't working. And, you know, I guess all these people that you are so addicted to social media were going, you know, haywire. You know, I was, it wasn't so much of an issue for me. It was down for like a couple of days because, for me, I was born in 1992. So I think I know a little bit of what life was like before social media really began to take over and everything. So, I mean, although I was very young at that time, but the website was down, you know, they had a serious outage and, you know, it was good that it happened because it taught people, you know, to put the phone down, including myself, and to do other things, you know, to use that time, probably to spend time. I mean, that could have been the perfect time to pray, to study the Word of God, because you no longer have distraction. You don't have a notification popping up from WhatsApp or Facebook or Instagram because they're, you know, it caused an outage among all three of them because they're all under the Facebook company. Because WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. Instagram is owned by Facebook. So when one of them went down, all of them went down. So when we talk about wisdom of the world, Apostle Paul gave his definition of wisdom of the world in 1 Corinthians 3:18-21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. And it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." So from that passage, Paul it's not that he was not saying to neglect the pursuit of knowledge. Instead, he was talking about any type of wisdom that holds you back from God is not wisdom. Because there's some things, they may seem harmless, but anything that takes you away from that time, that fellowship, that relationship with God, it's not wisdom. And we have to be very careful. You see, when the devil wants to present things to us, he does it in a subtle way, in a way that it doesn't look like it's evil. And we need to ask God for a discerning spirit. We need to ask God to reveal to us what is truly wisdom. And also when we get wisdom, that we get understanding. Because you look at the life of Solomon. He asked God to be wise, you know, to lead the nation. And God gave him more than what he asked. He gave him wisdom. But look at what happened to Solomon after. This is someone who had hundreds of concubines, hundreds of, you know, wives. You know, it's a good thing to have wisdom, but to have wisdom, you must also have understanding. Praise the name of the Lord. So also from this passage I just read in 1 Corinthians 3:18 to 21, the Corinthians were using worldly wisdom to evaluate their leaders and teachers. And you could see that happening today, even in the household of faith. People are arguing, you know, when it comes to the word of God, using worldly things, using worldly examples, and trying to apply it to the things of God, and it doesn't work. It's like trying to put the shape of, you know those toys that those kids have, that it has the shape of a circle and a box, and you're putting the box where the circle is supposed to be. You're putting the circle where the box is supposed to be. It doesn't fit. And that's kind of what's going on today, because people are just trying to apply things where they simply don't fit, because they say the world is changing, so we must change as well. No, that's not the case. And if we look at the open heavens this morning, it says God, it was talking about the standard of God, that it remains the same. All this technology that we're seeing that's improving with time, they will all pass away. They're not stronger than God. They're not powerful than God. God is the source of all these things. We are to worship God, not the creations. Praise the name of the Lord. Wisdom is vital, but like I said, get wisdom with understanding. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 3, I believe it is. Proverbs chapter 3. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And if you read further, it says, it shall be health to my navel, and marrow to thy bones. So David was teaching, in this passage, David was teaching Solomon at a young age to seek the wisdom of God. And like we said before, that was one of the things he asked God for, was for wisdom. But we also have to be careful. We need to ask God for his understanding, because God can give us wisdom, but if we don't use it the right way, you know, it becomes another thing, and we could see that in the life of Solomon. I pray that as God blesses us with wisdom, that we will also use his understanding, and that we'll use the wisdom in the right way, in Jesus' name. So if we look at that same Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 20, we now talk about godly wisdom. We have talked about wisdom of the world. Now we're going to go to godly wisdom. What is godly wisdom? It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath found the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. If we look at verse 19, it says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By wisdom created the earth. And it says, by understanding hath he established the heavens. We are to seek the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of the world. Let us look at James 1 verse 5. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. I want us to focus on the next verse. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So, any more contributions on true wisdom versus wisdom of the world?
Praise the Lord. What is coming to me is just looking at our life completely. And when you take, for example, that there was a time, I give one example here of one boss I had when I was serving Abuja, you know, who did something that was completely out of it. And I was trying to tell him about poverty of the mind. When you look at our lives and begin to compare our lives to the lives of unbelievers, would you be able to understand wisdom of the world and wisdom of God? It is the wisdom of God that through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, that we tell you, okay, that wealth gotten by dubious means will fly away. It is the wisdom of the world that we tell somebody, say, acquire as much as you can continue to acquire. And that's the reason why you can see a single person in the country we came from who will gather ₦1 billion unto himself and his family of one wife and probably 2 children. Okay. It is the wisdom of the world that tells him, gather as much as possible so that you can live in plenty, in affluence. But it's the wisdom of God that will tell you that which you gather will fly away. And therefore, even when you are gathering, you are conscious of the fact that, okay, let it bless lives. Because in any case, it's going to disappear. So, when you look at lives like that, then you begin to see truly what Apostle Paul was trying to say. That he who is wise in his own conceit, let him be foolish. No wonder the Bible also tells us that, you know, the way that seemeth right to a man, which is actually wisdom, the way that seemeth right is wisdom. In fact, somebody taking such ways to man, to the world, is wisdom. He is smart, he is wise. But the Bible says the end is what? Destruction. So it's the wisdom of God that will make us to understand that the end of such ways leads to destruction. And it's the wisdom of God that will tell us that we have specific time to spend in this world, and whether we like it or not, everybody will depart from this earth. But it's the wisdom of the world that tells some, when they begin to gather and behave in such a way, they actually think there's no end to this life. And suddenly, death strikes. It is the wisdom of God that makes us to believe even in Christ. To know that there is eternity. But it's this thing, it's the wisdom of this world that makes people to begin to follow the wide road that leads to destruction. So, I think it's just the total thing, the totality of our lives. And that is why Solomon was trying to let us know, thank God through the Holy Spirit, that yes, God gave him understanding heart. God gave him one, because what he asked for was to judge the people. And God gave him such wisdom so that he can know the right and the wrong. Even what some people cannot discern, he could discern it. He could speak languages. But he allowed the wisdom of the world to pollute the wisdom of God that he was given. And remember, it was after that he started having many wives. It was not the issue of many wives that was actually the problem. Because remember those days, you know, before Christ came, those days, of course, God has given you this thing, go and what? The mandate in Genesis 1:28. Okay? Be fruitful. And that is why, you know, people could even marry within the larger family circle just to reproduce. So the many wives was not the issue. But those women came with their own gods. They came with their gods from their various people where Solomon went and picked them from. They brought their gods. And the heart of Solomon, according to the Bible, was torn away from God. Just clearly meaning his heart was torn from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of the world. And from then, he missed it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I just want us to relate this with what is happening. What we saw today. You remember this, all the laws that is going on now on abortion. Okay. If you look at it, on the face of it, you will see the legislator, they are passing law to stop abortion. And the other people, the women are saying, it is my body. That's wisdom of the world. I own myself. I can do whatever I want with my body. You see, God has been taken out of the equation now. They now own their body. They are not looking at, in fact, some of them were. We can't go because they say ignorance is not an excuse. When God says that, I knew you before you were formed. I was the one who created you. And now you are claiming that it's my body. They cannot tell us. And the foolish people, again, you see the world again, the wisdom of the world. Going on in the house. All right? Why are so many people kicking against the Christian faith now? It's because there is too much hypocrisy. What has happened in the past is happening now. You are the one saying that no, they cannot commit abortion. You are the one who went with the concubine who is pregnant and you are telling the baby you have to take it out. And you are in the house. You stood up in the house and you are telling the whole world abortion must be banned. If a doctor do it, 99 years. Hey, they will just look at you that look at this fool. According to the word of God, that's why the wisdom of the world is foolishness. That's where you should look at it. What is happening now is the wisdom of the world. What is causing problem everywhere now? The big man that we have here, he just looked at Iran. He said, if you do anything, we wipe you out. How can you come out with that statement? That's the wisdom of the world. Because if you look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, he never released anything that we will hurt. But it's not going to compromise. He's going to bring it out. He's going to say it the way it's supposed to be said. But you see, this is the choice, dilly-dally, which we read in James now, wavering. That's what is going on. And that's the wisdom of the world. And that's the problem. I mean, I looked at the, what they call that thing? We do it very well. Union and everybody will be, protesting. All over the United States. Women, we have our body. First of all, everybody they are sympathetic. They sympathize with them. Oh, they just have to, and you can't give them this. But when you look at this, it's the wisdom of the world. Because if you have it, if you are rooted in the world, you know that you cannot live by yourself unless God is with you. Did he not tell us that those who want to do something, they do it in vain. They labor in vain, except him. And you call yourself, a lot of them call themselves Christian. They see the problem. Wisdom of the world is the one that keeps you to carry gun in one hand and carry Bible on the other side. And you are white, you saw a black man, you said, I don't want him to come here. Have you ever seen Jesus Christ driving people away? Wisdom of the world. That's what Daddy was just telling us. That, this thing has permeated the whole world. That's why the world is that's why we're having serious unrest. Because of the wisdom of men. What happened to Abraham? It was not the wisdom of God. Because when God had already told him that somebody from your bower will come, it will be fruitful. It will be like, uncountable. The wife came and said, take this one because I am so old. I don't know what they are telling you. You better meet this one so that you can have this. God was telling him again when even that he said, my servant. God was telling me, it's not yourself. Somebody from your bower. Wisdom of the world. It was the wisdom of the world that is causing problem in the whole world today. If not, we won't have two brothers. One on the other side of the east, and the other one on the other side. They are beating themselves to the what is happening in the country, in our own country? Wisdom of the world. So it is so, when I looked at it, may God help us all. Because those of us in household of faith, sometimes we inject wisdom of the world, which is false wisdom. And when we do it, it brings us down. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. We must be very, especially at this end time, we must be very careful. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. When you actually look at it, when we talk about godly wisdom versus wisdom of the world, it actually plays a role in ultimately the final battle in end time, good versus evil. Because you see, that's basically what's going on. This is more and more signs of the end time. When one of the prophecies was that the end is near, the countdown has begun. You'll see that it's starting to rise more and more. More and more evil things. There's even a bigger fight now between good and evil. This is all like, a prelude to the end time, to that final battle, when God ultimately destroys the devil and all those that that have joined side with him. It's our prayer we will be on the right side. We'll be on the side of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. And Daddy rightly said it, that wisdom of the world is what is putting the world, all the trouble that we are having in the world, the crisis, the misunderstanding, the fights and everything. It's as a result of the wisdom of the world. I just want to add that, talking about children, it is the wisdom of the world that has pushed our children to the position where they are now. Because wisdom of the world, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he grows up, he will not depart from it. Wisdom of the world said, don't worry, keep talking. Just keep talking. They will hear. Keep pampering. A child is doing something wrong. The Bible has said, spare the rod and spoil the child. And you cannot beat that child because you're not supposed to beat him. You're not supposed to beat her. You're just supposed to be, just keep talking. Just keep talking with them and keep praying and they will change. And then some people that have not grown up with that philosophy, when they even come out and they're like, oh, really? They become rebellious. They're like, what are you saying? They are saying this is wrong and this is right. And they begin to give you name. And before you know what is happening, somebody that had morals before is like, he's having rights. Now it's my right. I mean, I'm 18. I'm leaving home because I'm 18. What? Even at 25, you have graduated. You're still inside your mother's house. Unless you have gotten your job, you have your house, and your father can certify that you can take care of yourself, you can move out. But how are you just 18? And the parents are saying, oh, he's 18. Oh, he has a date, first date, for goodness sake. And the people that they were not brought up, like, they're like, oh, so what are you talking? You're not being current. And the Bible has been dropped somewhere else. You're talking from the Bible. They're asking you, oh, no, no, you're contradicting it. They say this, they say that, they say that. Wisdom of the world. Even in the house of God. A child is doing something wrong. Nobody is saying it. Somebody is trying to correct. It becomes a problem. That person is bad because it's correcting. And you are seeing it like this. They are praying. Children are doing something else. When we were kids, I'm not saying I'm the best. When we were kids, when we go to church, when it's time to stand, every child stands up, except those that are too small to stand. They are praying. You see them dancing. Go back to Nigeria. See children coming to the front of the church. They are dancing. During dancing, when they are dancing, praising God. But children are sitting down, doing a different thing altogether. Their parents are doing something else altogether. That's the wisdom of the world. It's not wisdom of God. And so it's causing problem. I'm just trying to add to what Daddy said. Because it's actually causing problems for us. We are fighting ourselves because we are exhibiting the wisdom of the world. Wisdom of the world comes with weakness. It comes with unbelief. It comes with lies. It comes with lack of faith. It comes with a lot of things. May the Lord help us. You know, some people even fall from grace to grace because they want to fall in line. You can only be different if you make up your mind and say, I don't care if I'm hated. I don't care if they call me old-fashioned, but I stand by what the word of God is saying. You're not going to be liked. So may the Lord help us to take a stand in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I just say something briefly. Someone once said that the problem of this world is pride. That it is pride that made, the whole generation, from the time of the fall of man, that's Eve, and Adam and Eve, it was pride that caused it. And I sat down and thought about it, and it seems to make a whole lot of sense, actually, because it is pride that would make you to ignore the instruction of the one that created you and choose to follow the instruction of the person that he created. That you choose to listen to somebody else. There's a reason why King Solomon, who said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, was the one that even decided not to trust in God at some point and follow strange women who led his heart away from God. That was another evidence of pride, actually. And why I went that way was because I just wanted to chip in that we as humans, we tend to... I know knowledge is good. That's acquiring knowledge. That's getting educated and all of that. But sometimes we run the risk of, the more educated we get, the higher the risk of us getting proud and not trusting in God, because we tend to believe so much more in what we know. So our knowledge becomes like it becomes our nemesis, more or less, because we are so reliant on the fact that we know that once we turn on this switch, the light is going to come on. So we don't really have to ask the Holy Spirit to say, please, can you let me know if I should turn on the switch? It's a no-brainer. It's just easy. Like, I just turn on the switch. Whereas some people have turned on a switch and they just died because there was water in the pipes or something like that, and they just got electrocuted and they died. So if such a person had asked that, oh, Holy Spirit, should I turn on the switch? He would have said, oh, don't turn on the switch, you will die. I use that simple example because sometimes the knowledge we have is the problem that we have. We know so much. We know so much about everything. And we, at the end of the day, we realize we don't know anything. So we need to trust God more. And that is the only way. When we humble ourselves, the Bible says that he that humbles himself, the Lord will lift up. When we humble ourselves and sincerely actually ask God for wisdom to do what we need to do, he is a God that answers. He's a God that listens. So he will grant us that wisdom. The Bible says that. But sometimes I also don't want us to get too subconsumed by the... when I was, for example, when I used to have a discussion with my dad said something that I always hold very dear. It was at the deciding moment in my life when I needed to take a decision, and I had to ask him. I said, "How will I know that this is the right decision?" And he said, "Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Each time I want to take any other decision after that time, and I'm feeling confused, I will remember that statement again. Then I have to now sincerely ask myself, am I being led by the Spirit of God? Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I think what we need to now be overall mindful of is God gives wisdom. And that's why he said in James that if anyone lacks it, he should ask. And that constitutes the wisdom of God, given by God through the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, when he, the Comforter, comes, he will reveal, he will give unto you that which he has received from the Father, from the Son. Okay, so the Holy Spirit gets the wisdom, imparts into us, so that we can begin to apply the gifts in us, the knowledge we have had, the environment around, we can now begin to apply all this in order to suit the wisdom of God, so that the end product of our lives will now be totally the wisdom of God. But the truth is this: the wisdom of the world that we have been talking about is the wisdom of the devil. That's the truth. And if we can recognize it like that, we will now know why things are going the way they are going. It is the devil's wisdom. It is actually the devil who will tell you when you are praying and the phone rings. Now, to tell you that, yeah, it could be that job you have been waiting for, that somebody wants to tell you that it is possible, it has worked. And you now want to say, this opportunity for me to know that you pick the phone only to hear somebody say, how are you doing now? Well, what did they do? Say, what are you even doing? Say, and then you get annoyed, you know. So, all these things we have been talking about, the children now, it's the devil who puts all this wisdom in man. Because he knows that the moment man can begin to operate in his own wisdom, they have already departed from the wisdom of God. And they already begin to take that path that leads to destruction. It is the devil who, and a lot of time, you will discover that here is the wisdom of God. The devil will bring a copycat, present it, make it more palatable. It is the wisdom of the devil that makes a child now, a young man, a youth, your youth, come into the church and say, the church is dull. What is dull in the church? Because as far as they are concerned, it's the wisdom of the devil, what they can see, what they can enjoy. It is not the wisdom of God to say you have to connect with God that you have come to meet in the church. And God is never dull. So it's the wisdom of the devil that we therefore tell them, say, therefore, since this is dull, your phone, you will get some good things there. And you see them going to their phone. Now, when some of us were growing up, it was the wisdom of God in our parents who, when we go to the church, the father is sitting down here, the mother is here, the children are lined up. So let me see how you are going to get up. In fact, once you move and step, where are you going to? That's the word. So the moment you know you are going to the church, as your dad and your parents, you can't move. You are remaining there. Our dad, he has a portion for us that he wants us to be sitting in the church so that once he sits down, because since he's one of the pastors, once he sits down, before he became chief, it was the wisdom of the world too that asked him to go and be a chief. Once he sits down, he's counting. God bless you, you are not in the church before him. That's the wisdom of God. That says what my sister was talking about, train up in the way of the Lord, not in the way of the world. But the devil is now giving world the wisdom. Train the child in the way of the world, which is his own way, because he's still the prince of the world. So everything you see, even the world coming into the church now, it is the wisdom of the devil. It's the devil. In any case, the devil has brought those who bring this wisdom. Look at what is happening now. Beautiful thing. Science, technology. Broom. Before we say Revelation chapter 10, verse 15. Femi, you have put it on the... I want to ask you, how many people open their Bible in the church again? Gradually, some people will not even know where some chapters are. Because the moment you see that, boom, 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 it's there. If I will wait and say, Femi, we are waiting for you. And everybody...
I think, thank God, I think it's good when sometimes when the computer freezes, so it makes some people to open the Bible by force.
So it is the, beautiful thing, and my brother was saying it, knowledge. The knowledge we have acquired that does not suit the wisdom of God, that conforms with the wisdom of the devil. Of course, everything, even in the house now, the family that makes up that God values so much, it is the wisdom of the devil that has come into the family now. Divorce. Is it not the wisdom of the devil now? Where somebody will say, this is the child of my, no. You see somebody living in this country now. What is marriage? You just check in and check out. At will. So, I think this is something very important we need to take away tonight by the grace of God. And thank you for this topic. To begin to know that the wisdom of the devil is eroding the wisdom of God, even in the household. So that those of us who are privileged to be listening to, for us to be rubbing minds like this, will be very, very mindful. Anytime something is happening that is not in conformity with the word of God, we should begin to ask ourselves, whose wisdom is this? God or the devil? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to quickly add something. When you talked about wisdom of the world, there's something that I noticed of recent, and I think, you know, we need to really pray. When we talk about Sunday, it's supposed to, you know, the day of rest, that we're supposed to come to church and worship God. You notice now that all these events, parades, festivals, all of a sudden, not only are they on Sunday, but I mean, it's one thing if they do Sunday in the evening, that's another thing. But you notice that they're all set at the time that people are supposed to be in church. And then another thing that I've noticed, I think we really need to pray. We shouldn't take this lightly. Exams are now starting to be scheduled on Sunday. It was never, graduation is one thing. Graduation is Sunday. Exams. Before, exams used to never be held on Sunday, or at least for me. I thank God I never had an exam on Sunday morning, because I noticed even, you know, looking at it last Sunday, a lot of our brethren were not in the church because they were taking an exam on Sunday. And, you know, I'm not putting it on them personally, but I'm putting it on the system, what the system has become now. Even some games for in schools, it's on Sunday morning. Something that could easily be done in the evening, Sunday morning. And I notice anytime me and my dad are on our way to church, we'll see people be outside walking their dogs, going for a jog. But you see that all of a sudden when you ask them to come to the church, they say it's too early. But it's not too early to go and walk your dog. It's not too early to go and jog. It's not too early to go and get McDonald's breakfast. We need to be very careful. These things are actually starting to creep inside the church now. Some people will say that I can't even work. Originally, there was a time that there was no, I mean, this was before I was born, probably in the 50s. There was a time where nobody would work on Sunday. Now, I can't come this Sunday. I have to work. They called me in. I have to work. I thank God for, you know, one of the restaurants, you know, that I thank God for, Chick-fil-A, they don't open on Sunday. They're one of the few restaurants, fast food restaurants. You know, they're a Christian, run by a Christian family, you know. They support Trump. That's a different thing. You know, that's a different thing entirely. But still, they don't open on Sundays. And yet, out of all the fast food restaurants, they're one of the most successful. They don't, that one day that people will be criticizing, oh, you're losing money by not opening on Sunday. Yet they're making more money than other fast food joints that are opening on Sunday. So we, you know, a lot of things are just, they're creeping into the church, and we really need to be very careful. You know, when I really thought about that, I was like, exam on Sunday morning. That used to never happen. I mean, God will help us in Jesus' name. So I want us to rise. I want us to pray. We're going to say, Father, grant me your wisdom and understanding in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, grant me your wisdom and understanding in Jesus' name. Grant me your wisdom and understanding, O Lord, to do that which is according to your will, O Lord. Do that which is according to your will, O Lord. Father, grant me your wisdom and understanding, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Grant me your wisdom and understanding, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Grant me your wisdom and understanding, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Grant me your wisdom, O Lord. Grant me your wisdom and understanding, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Grant me your wisdom and understanding. Help me, O Lord, not to be wise in my own eyes. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you for your word. Help us to be doers of your word. And help us to live by your word all the days of our lives. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Praise the Lord. It is time for offering. But before we take our offering, church, let us stretch forth our hands towards our brother and pray for him. Let us pray for fresh unction to come upon him, that God's anointing upon his life will not run dry. Let us pray for divine wisdom, divine understanding from above for our brother, that may he continually increase in the word of God, that he will not live his life by the dictates, by the standard of this world. He will not abide by the wisdom of this world, but that divine wisdom, according to the holy book that we follow, that shall guide his path. That our brother will not miss it, that on the last day, everything he has said on the altar today will not stand against him. That may he continue to